Welcome to the It's All Happening Women in CPG podcast. I'm your host, Danielle Calabrese, CPG advisor and now founder of It's All Happening, an agency that helps brands with launch strategy. Tune in as we break down ways that successful female entrepreneurs are using to build their businesses. You'll hear stories of the people who make shit happen, overcoming struggles and celebrating the wins. We cover how brands are taking products to market, tactics that work, things that have failed, and just lessons learned from out in the field. Whether you're looking for inspiration, industry secrets, or launching a brand, this is the place. Okay, you guys, I just hung up with Rupa Anandata, and she is the founder of Nomi, a line of organic pantry meals for kids that are shelf stable, complete, and just ready in 10 minutes just by adding hot water. They're really, really incredible. I cannot wait for this product to come to market. Her waitlist is opening up on June 25th for pre-orders. You definitely need to check this product out, especially if you have kids in the 2 to 6 age range. So before Nomi, Rupa spent 15 years managing operations and supply chain at Apple, Microsoft, Peloton, bringing new products to market at scale. After her son turned toddler and started eating real meals, she really felt the tension that so many parents know. And then she had an 8-hour flight where her kids survived just on goldfish and pretzels. And in that moment, she was like, okay, enough already. We need an actual meal that's shelf stable and nutritious. And that's what sparked Nomi. Again, she's launching in 10 days when this episode comes out on June 25th. Without further ado, my conversation with Rupa, founder of Nomi. Hi, everyone, and welcome back to another episode of the It's All Happening Women in CPG podcast. And today I'm here with Rupa Anandata, founder of Nomi, a organic kids meal brand that is prepared by just adding hot water. Where were you when my kids were 2 and 3 years old?
I know. Only we could go back in time.
I know. Rupa, thank you for joining me today. I'm so happy you're here to talk about your new brand, which honestly is just so exciting. I have been lucky enough to be behind the scenes with you and really just be a part of your entire strategy that you're putting together. And by the time this episode airs, you're going to be right around the corner from opening up pre-sales, which is honestly so exciting. You've come such a long way in the last 7 months. So bravo to you, sister.
Thank you. Appreciate it. Thank you for all your help in advance.
So you're entering into a really big, interesting category, the kids' food market. There is so much crap in this section, if we're all just being honest, right? There's a lot of new brands that have come in that have grown to be like, you know, massive brands like Serenity Kids, Once Upon a Farm. All of these brands have really, you know, doubled down on definitely the age group that you're going after, but it's so interesting that nobody has really created a full whole meal solution for kids. And this is why this Nomi is, in my mind, such a big deal, because you're solving a real problem.
Yeah.
We as parents don't want to give our kids another pouch or another freeze-dried snack. We need a meal. We need our kids to have a meal. And at this age, this, like, you know, toddler age that you're doubling down on, it can be really hard, because this is oftentimes when they become really picky.
So Nomi really started from a personal pain point. I was working 60-hour weeks at Peloton, and after my son became a toddler, I was having to cook him 3 meals a day, you know, breakfast, daycare, lunch, and dinner. And I was burning out, and the breaking point really came when we were on an 8-hour flight, and I realized all he had were goldfish and pretzels, because that's what I grabbed. Those were convenient. Those were shelf stable. And that really was what sparked Nomi. I was like, why aren't there any meal solutions that were as convenient to grab as those snacks? And so while we do have some options in the frozen space, For this age group, I really wanted to focus on something that was shelf stable. I couldn't find that category at all. There's nothing on shelf today that's a complete meal in that toddler and preschool age group. So I decided to put my product development hat on and start researching food technologies and, you know, food technologies to understand, you know, how can we have a product that's shelf stable without the need for preservatives or excess sodium, which is what you really see in a lot of shelf-stable products. And that's where I ran into the freeze-drying technology. And so with freeze-drying technology, we actually are able to cook our meals and freeze-dry, and that's what makes it shelf-stable.
Okay, so tell us about the rehydration process.
What freeze-drying does is it removes water and moisture from whatever is going into the dryer. And without water moisture, there's no room for bacteria to grow. So that's how we're able to have a shelf-stable product without any other ingredients going in. So what happens is our meals are in a stand-up pouch, and you open the pouch, you add hot water directly to the pouch, you stir it, reseal, wait 10 minutes, and a meal is ready. So you can actually eat it directly from the pouch. If you're at home, you also have the option to eat it in a bowl as well. But really, you know, it's for on the home or on the go.
I mean, obviously freeze-dried's been around, right? You're not the first person to do freeze-dried. During this whole process of, you know, you building this brand, so much of what you and I were talking about was like, we figured out why this hasn't been done.
Well, first of all, freeze-drying in itself is a very niche process and requires special equipment. The very first reason a lot of the brands don't is because, one, there's not a lot of co-manufacturers here in the U.S. that do freeze-dried. There are quite a few, I would say, that do single-ingredient freeze-dry, meaning they might freeze-dry fruit, they might freeze-dry yogurt melts are really popular right now. They might freeze-dry, you know, chicken or meats. But there's not a lot that are doing the cooking and freeze-drying process together. And I really wanted to make sure that those two processes stayed under the same roof, because that's what really is needed to control quality, which is super important when you're doing a kid's meal brand. So with these caveats, you know, there were, I think right now there's about two in America that do this like all together in the same roof. And that's kind of was the first barrier. So cost of the freeze drying, a lot of people that do have freeze drying companies, especially are in the backpacking space as well, they have home freeze dryers. So it's great, but you can't really scale with that. So when you go to that next option, which is co-manufacturing, there's not a lot of options. And so, you know, people may tend to stop there. And that's really where I believe my background in manufacturing really helped, one, identify and find any and all suppliers here in America, but two, like how to work with them to actually set this process up. Yeah. Because even though they have, you know, there's two now, they do adult meals, but for kids, it's really important. The level of quality, the level of care, the level of precision you need in terms of ingredient, how to process it, everything is so crucial. So that was really what I spent the last 7 to 10 months really developing and working with these companies to make sure they have, one, the right quality standards, two, the right processes in place, three, they're are comfortable getting certifications or are already certified, you know, in terms of SQF, organic, kosher, et cetera. So yeah, it's been just a long process to get this entire supply chain up and running.
Well, yeah. And on the topic of certifications too, organic, you've uncovered in your like extensive market research that you've done is crucial for parents, especially with young kids and people who are just introducing to foods and more complex flavors, like certified organic. It's not important in every category. This category is absolutely crucial for the brand to be successful. So it adds another layer of complication of cost to this supply chain. But I have to say, like, kudos for you. And I know you and I have laughed a lot because like this whole process has just taken like a long time to launch and you've been like constantly refining your recipes and whatnot. And I've made jokes to you about like, are you ever going to launch? You know, yeah. Like how many more iterations are you going to do? And I say that just joking around because like it actually is, there are some types of products and some types of brands where you can just like launch and like you figure it out and whatnot, which there's always that no matter what. But this category with kids, you can't just like mess around. This isn't like a category that you can really like kind of figure it out. Like it needs to be figured out already before it launches. So just to anybody who's listening, who's going to buy Nomi eventually or eventually be a customer, Rupa has put so much care and so much development into these formulations and this whole like process and brand building. So I think I'm definitely impressed by you in that sense, for sure. I mean, on all levels, but really, like, this is where you shine. And that's going to lead me into my next thing that I want to chat with you about, which is your background. Mm-hmm. So you have a unique background that's like really positioned you as the person that is primed to be able to lead this company into the future.
Before Nomi, I spent 15 years in consumer electronics, where I managed supply chain and operations at leading, you know, Fortune 500 companies. So I started my career actually at Microsoft, moved on to Apple, and most recently I spent 5.5 years at Peloton. And the best part about all of this is I was on product launch teams, bringing multiple new products to market. So I really understood what it took from going from an idea stage to launch, but not just launch, but like, how do you scale after launch? So when I started thinking about Nomi, I was always thinking about scale, which is why I didn't want to pursue a path of starting this as a cottage business or starting it out of a commercial kitchen, because I knew that the capacity I would get from a home freeze dryer would not enable me to scale. And so everything from early on, from early product development, all the ingredients that we sourced, all of our formulas, recipes, everything, who the suppliers that we partnered with, I really made sure that they were able to scale, not just from like a volume perspective, but also cost. Because as cost, as volume grows, you really want that cost to come down. I feel like my 15 years in that manufacturing supply chain background really positioned me, while I had zero CPG experience before this, really helped, you know, bring in the building blocks of building Nomi. So like you mentioned, it has taken a while. It's taken a lot longer than I had anticipated. And, you know, I launched hardware products before, so I knew it'd take a while, but this has definitely taken a lot more than I thought. But really, like, the solace for me is that I'm really setting up a very strong foundation for us. And we are able to scale. Like, as soon as we hit go, we're able to take in and scale our product. We're not going to have a stop and go. So a lot of those commercial pain points that a lot of brands experience later on that I hear about, we're experiencing that now.
Yeah, there's not a lot of founders that could launch a brand like this, considering all of the things that we just mentioned a few minutes ago about the challenges of the supply chain, the limited manufacturing, the MOQs, the cost just in general. But I think because of your unique supply chain background, you've been able to tap into your past experience and get this thing to actually come to life. Okay, so when did you start building this brand? How many months ago was it?
Wow. So we're coming up on a year. So okay. I officially kicked off Nomi at the end of June of last year. Okay. So it's right after Summer Fancy Foods in 2025, which is going to be such a great opportunity because I will be exhibiting and have launched at Summer Fancy 2026. But yeah, it's coming up on a year. And the reason it's taken a while, so the first 3 to 4 months, we're really working with a R&D company mm-hmm. to work on our initial recipes. But what I was finding is the recipes just weren't hitting the taste that I wanted, as well as texture too. Mm-hmm. Because with kids, again, if this was an adult brand, if I was focused on adults, I would have likely launched this a long time ago. But right. I have to balance between nutrition, because I've been also working with pediatric nutritionists to make sure we're hitting the right macros for this age group. So that's like one less thing for parents to think about. So. Yeah. Balancing between that nutrition requirements, the taste and the texture, and overall like cost and process. So
it's hard. Really, it's hard.
Yeah. really being able to juggle that. So the first 4 months, I would say, were really spent on our initial recipes. It definitely got us to a point where I was able to actually do a Winter Fancy Fair exhibit. And that was a huge win for me because, one, it enabled me to get in front of retailers, industry experts to understand, like, what do other people think about this form factor? Parallel to that, I also did a 70 family pilot taste testing to make sure I got their feedback before I continued to iterate on the recipes myself. And so really, again, the first like 4 to 6 months were the initial recipes, doing a pilot run at a manufacturing location with those recipes, validating with both parents and families, which is number one priority, and then as well as industry experts to understand, like, both from a parent need perspective, but also like a retail an industry need. And it was very, very clear in those first 6 months that everyone wants this. You know, like, there was a very, very high excitement around the product, both from like parents of like the need that it's solving, but also retailers, because they can put a shelf stable product now in the center aisle of a kid's aisle. That's a complete meal. That was really the first like 4 to 6 months. And then since then, the last 5-6 months have just been focused on iterating my recipes based on that feedback. So I think for my couple of my meals, I'm almost at like 70 iterations. So it's
you've done a lot of iterations, that's where like my jokes come from. But yeah, you've done so many iterations to perfect the taste and the texture.
And I have a toddler at home. So, you know, it's not like I'm spiraling myself. I'm testing it in real time. Yeah. You know, I have friends around me that have kids. So every time I did iterations, I made sure that there were kids tasting it and then giving me their feedback. I mean, you know, their feedback is very limited and short.
Sure.
But very truthful. So,
well, yeah, it's the, if they won't eat it, there's the feedback. Like, exactly. Done. You know what I mean?
Exactly.
Done.
Exactly. Yeah. So I know that I have to launch, and I will be launching very soon, which we're going to be talking about. But I also know as a founder that it was important for me to trust my gut. And my gut was telling me that we weren't ready. Like, now I'm very strong about the recipes that we have for all of our three meals. And I feel comfortable saying, yes, we will put our stamp on this because we believe this is a product that's taste, texture, and nutritionally great for kids that parents will enjoy too. There was definitely that pull for me where I was like, I should be launching. It's taken a long time. But on the other end, I was like, this isn't ready. Like, I know it's not ready. And when it is ready, I will know. And it's actually reflected because my toddler just ate all three of our meals this week.
Amazing.
I'm like, there you go. Step one. And he's very picky. Very, very picky. So I feel really good about the place we're at. But it was also important for me as a founder to trust my gut.
I have a question for you. Are you running in circles every month and stalling yourself out, missing out on sales? You're just like doing endless research because you're trying to figure it all out on your own. Maybe you're confused on how to price your product, how much margin you'll need, if you're going to be profitable. You really don't know how much startup capital you're going to need. You're lost on what to spend and what's reasonable. And you don't have any clue really on how to build an operating budget. Maybe you can't get a manufacturer to answer your emails and you're not sure if you need to spend money on an R&D partner. And then when it comes to retail, you just don't even know where to start. You never successfully pitched to a retail buyer or an investor, and you could really use some guidance and framework. You might not have any clue on how to figure out which channels to launch in and how to determine when it's time to open up new ones. And I know that you really want to launch your brand, but you just don't feel confident that you have the right information and strategy to be successful. So let me help you de-risk your investment. This is what we do in Launch Lab. I guide you through my 4-part framework that teaches you exactly how to launch your food and beverage brand successfully. You'll get a complete toolkit that will take you through the step-by-step process And you'll have access to a founder community so you can build alongside others who are in the same shoes and at similar stages, where you network inside of our Slack channel. You have access to me specifically in office hours every week, where you come with your questions and I give you real live operator-led feedback. There's two ways to join Launch Lab. You can join our live cohort, which happens twice a year in March and in September. These are 10-week cohorts that kick off and run 4 days a week. If you want to get started now and it's not March or September, you miss a sign up, no worries. We have the pre-recorded version running all the time, so you can join at your leisure whenever it works for you. So stop stressing out, start de-risking your investment and getting a real launch plan together. Check out itsallhappeningagency.co/launch-course.
So who are some of the people that you've worked with along the way?
From the start, the very first person in the CPG industry I started partnering with was Kelly Bennett. She is, everyone knows her, everyone loves her. She's the best. But I partner with her on brand strategy. When I started Nomi, this was really positioned as a travel meal. But as I was going through my R&D process, I was finding myself reaching for it on those everyday moments. So she really helped me work with me to define what that messaging looked like. You know, who's the right audience? What's the right messaging? What are the solutions like people reach Nomi for? So really honing in on all of the information I had, you know, parent surveys, et cetera, to really drill that down into a good brand strategy. From there, I partnered with Benita, actually you, on our operations and go-to-market plan to understand, you know, what's our cost? What are the channels we should be going after first? What are our margins in those channels? Because, you know, I would love to be in Target tomorrow. Is that maybe the best? I don't know. Yeah. So really working through every single channel, what are our margins? You know, what's our price point and what's our positioning in each of that. So that really helped me honing in on like what my focus is for the next 6 to 18 months, right? Like what's my media focus and what's my intermediary focus? So really nailing that down. And in parallel, you introduced me to Benita Studios, which I'm so thankful for introduction to them because they really helped bring Nomi to life with brand identity and our packaging. So Nomi, you know, I really wanted to make sure from like a visual identity perspective, as well as our brand voice too, to not feel like it was just a kid's product because yes, they are my end customer. The person buying it is a parent. So they have to be able to reach for it. It has to be very clear to them what it is, but also knowing that, yeah, this is for their kid or themselves if they want to. And so they had a very unique position to make sure to balance that in design to make sure it's not like too modern, too adult forward because kids want it. And also make sure it's not too kiddish where a parent might not, you know, pick it up on shelf or it blends in with the other baby and kid products that
are on shelf. Or too baby. You know, I think that the balance that Benita came up with is the perfect mixture of fun and playful with bold stepping out of the baby world and into the kid world, which is also what your brand is about. It's like this first transition phase of like the baby universe, the baby feeding world into like the big kid world. That's the gap that you bridge. So I think that they really captured that. That age gap.
I hope when people see this, they realize the amount of thought that went into that as well. Because with kids, the very, very first step to getting them to eat something is they want to be interested in it. So the way we have our mascots on our packaging really invites them in to saying, hey, what's that? I'm interested in it. So we took a lot of steps in our thought process and Benita helped bring that to life on like, it has to be interesting for kids for them to pick it up and saying, hey, mom, I want to try this, right? And then you know, having them be part of the process too, of like maybe watching the parent put the water in, or themselves put the water in with parent supervision, and then mix it up. You know, they're involved in that process. These are all things that have been proven to show that these are more likely to have kids eat. So we really like thought a lot about the format of the pouch, the what goes on the outside from a design perspective on the pouch, to make sure that this is inviting for kids and they're interested, and kind of removes that barrier for a parent to like saying, hey, eat this.
I think you've definitely achieved that. Okay, so on June 25th, you are opening up pre-orders, which is very exciting. This is right before Summer Fancy Food. This episode is going to be coming out, I think, like 10 days before that on June 15th. So like, what is happening? Tell us about what you're about to kick off here with the pre-orders and what that means if you're signing up for the pre-orders.
Absolutely. So if you're signing up for the pre-orders, you essentially are first in line for when we start shipments. Our shipments will begin at the end of July. And the reason we have that is to make sure we have all of our certification order, everything is up and running ahead of getting these orders shipped. So that's really what's happening in those few couple of weeks from pre-order to shipments. And I'm really excited about this. We have a lot of fun plans. Of course, Summer Fancy will be our big splash of, hey, we're officially a company now and we've launched and we have product. So it'll be really great to kick off those conversations with retailers as well. But in parallel, we're also doing organic social and some paid media as well to bring that brand awareness and really reach the parents that I want to reach, or and caregivers too. You know, there's a lot of people that Know Me serves, not just parents, it's anyone that's really caring for a child. So that's kind of what's on our plan. And this will be for our direct-to-consumer launch. And then later this year, around September, we will be doing Amazon. So for 2026, I really wanted to focus on e-com because our form factor, it's lightweight, it's shelf stable, and it can, you know, ship pretty easily. So I really wanted to focus on direct to consumer Amazon before to validate product market fit before going into retail in 2027.
And where do you see, I know you and I have spent a ton of time on this topic specifically.
Yeah.
Where do you see this brand living past, you know, 6-12 months? Talk to us about where Know Me is going to be on shelf.
So I really want to target the natural specialty channels first. So really going after retailers in that space. We'll start out here in the East Coast and then expand nationally. And the reason for that is just because I'm based here in the East Coast and it's great for if I want to do demos in store and be able to reach those customers as well in person. So really focus on that natural specialty channel. From there, we're going to focus on mass and club as well. So really first, again, getting up and running as much as possible with the natural specialty channels. And then from there, expanding to direct to consumer and Amazon, as well as target some direct e-retailers as well, like Thrive Market and Hunger Root. And then we will focus on natural specialty channels, starting regionally here on the East Coast. I'm based here. I would love to meet customers in person, and then expanding nationally. And then from there, we're going to target mass and club. So really focus on Target and Costco. There's a lot of amazing opportunity with both of those, specifically Target, because like that is my ideal audience and customer, that parent that is shopping there at Target. And considering they, you know, do direct, like it's a great opportunity for us to be at like a very attractive price point as well.
I don't say this to all my brands that I work with at all, because it's just not the case for everybody. But Know Me was built for Target and Costco. Like it really was. And I cannot wait to see Know Me in Target and have like a cool, unique pack size.
Yeah.
Like in Costco. It's just, it's brilliant. It's going to absolutely crush, because the people who shop at Costco and Target are shopping for their young kids. So pre-launch, pre-orders, you can sign up for the pre-orders. Yep. You'll receive it in July. What are you hoping to get from that?
That's a really great question. So we are going to launch with subscription as well as an option. So I'm really going to see what is the purchase rate What is the repeat purchase rate? What's her reorder? You know, what pack sizes are people buying? Because we do have different pack sizes as well. You know, are they buying maybe the lower one or the higher one? What are the different flavors? You know, what's the SKU mix as well? Because right now, you know, I have a theory of what the SKU mix will be, and then that will be used for, you know, how much we plan for production. But really, I would say first 3 months will determine and help me get a better understanding both on like a pack size, if we need to make any changes to packaging, what our reorder rate is to understand, you know, are we retaining the customers? And if we're not retaining customers, why is that? So The first 3 months will be really focused on really nailing that product market fit, understanding, is that even the right audience? Because one of the things I get constant feedback on is from working professionals saying, I will buy this for me. So I'm very curious if like they'll top parents, you know, our caregivers.
Right. That's so interesting. I know, because it really is like, that was my comment to you is like, I would totally eat this. And I did eat it when you sent me my samples. I did actually. So yeah, maybe it's, you know me family, and there's and there's meals that are also for the old adults as well. Okay. So I want to hear from you though, since you're new to this industry, anything unexpected or surprising?
You know, coming from the tech industry to CPG has been welcoming. Everyone in the CPG industry, I would say not, you know, there's always people, but like I would say for the most part at large, the industry is very open. Like people are very much willing to help you out, connect you with others in their network as well. Like it's just been very warm. The tech industry is very much not like that. You know, it's, hey, like everyone's kind of at an arm's length. But here, I mean, it kind of like relates because, you know, you're serving food for people, you're serving people. I think it's like you have to have a certain type of like innateness to serve others, to be in this industry. Because also it's really hard. I mean, I think that was the other surprising thing too. So other than the people, which has been amazing, what's been really surprising is, you know, coming from tech, I'm used to like, again, software subscription really being the driver for you. Hardware, great, you have some margin, but it's okay to not have margins there. With CPG, you have to have a margin for every unit you sell. If not, that'll crush you.
There's no getting around that.
There's no getting around it. So there's no software I can sell with it. I don't know, maybe there is. We'll talk about it in the future. But that's been really not surprising because I should have known, but like just more sobering. Like how much you really have to focus on the per unit margins versus the whole.
Yeah. And how high the costs are when you're starting off small, right? Yeah. It's such a numbers game and a volume game. But in order to get to that sweet spot where the margins really start to make sense, you have to get to the volume. But how do you get to the volume, right? You have to grow. It takes funding, and like usually way more funding than you think it was going to take and longer.
If you're a new CPG founder, definitely budget 10x. I was told 3x, I would say 10 minimum.
Yeah.
There's definitely things you can do scrappy, but it's an absolutely, you need funding and capital to get this off the ground and going.
And on that topic, you have raised some friends and family money. You've done some bootstrapping, and then you've also raised some friends and family. What has that process been like, getting your friends and family to believe in this concept? Was it challenging?
I would say for the most part, it was a relatively easier process for me because I had been talking about Nomi for a year before I even started working on it. So this idea really came around like June of 2024. I quit Peloton December 2024. So I've been talking about doing this for a while. I had saved up money and, you know, started bootstrapping. So when I raised the friends and family, no one was surprised. Like they knew what I was building. They knew the gap. I've been talking about this for so long. They've seen me have the issue, right? Like they've seen it. They've seen me struggle to make meals and like keep up with that and talk about that. So they really understood that this was a pain point and a need. So that has happened like well before I even kicked off that friends and family. And then once I did, of course, like we have to go through the deck and the numbers and make sure that there's like a business around it. But really, they believed in me. They believed that I could execute this. So that was, I mean, I'm so thankful that I have people in my life that believe in me to execute this. And that's really what's like continues to keep me going too.
Yeah. And that's something that I've been impressed with you as well too, is, you know, the fact that you've had this cushion of investment because yeah. this category is expensive and it requires capital. And you were able to convince your friends and family that no, this is something that people really need. And there's like massive opportunity here. And you got them to actually write the checks and wire the money. And like a lot of people really, really struggle with that. That can be sometimes the hardest part, is actually yeah. securing the funds.
Yeah.
Is actually securing the funds to make it happen.
I've been now talking to so many founders, and I do truly see a difference between like female founders raising and the way we talk about it versus oh, yeah. male founders. Like, absolutely. I think myself too is, I have to be sure I can execute something before I go do it, you know? Mm-hmm. So by the time I'm like raising, I knew I was going to do this. Like, I knew I was going to crush it. And so it's definitely a mindset shift to say, like, also, you're not asking for money. They have a stake in, my friends and family now have a stake in my business.
Yeah.
So when this takes off in a few mm-hmm. years, right? Yeah. Like, when we exit in, you know, 3 to 5, 5 to 7, whatever that is, they're getting they're cashing out too. So yeah. I think it's really important. And it took me a long time to come to that mindset of, hey, I'm not just asking for money. This is a mutual agreement. Yeah. You know, yes, they're giving me money now for that payoff in a few years down the road for them as well.
Yeah, I so agree with that as well. Yeah, there's definitely a difference in the way that, you know, women and men speak about money, and we're just different, right? Yeah. So, yes. Well, Rupa, thank you so much for chatting with us today and sharing all of your amazing insider information about building this brand and this business. And I just can't wait to get my pre-order in. That's all I have to say about that. Where can we find you? Please tell us.
Absolutely. So two ways right now. First, on our Instagram, which is www.instagram.com/getknowme, as well as our website. So please sign up for a waitlist. You'll be on the first. We also have our waitlist customers are also eligible to win a year's supply of Knowme. So,
oh my goodness.
Wow. I know. That's 144 packs. So
wow.
Please sign up for a waitlist and you might get chosen.
That's amazing. I love that. Well, thank you for chatting with us, Rupa. And we just are here for the ride. So
thank you so much, Danielle. Talk soon.
Yes, talk to you soon.
Bye.
I hope you enjoyed this episode of the It's All Happening Women in CPG podcast. It would mean so much to me if you like, subscribe, or share this episode with anyone who you think needs to hear. And if you're launching a brand and you need a CPG strategy advisor, visit my website to check out what we have to offer. I host free workshops from time to time. You have to sign up for emails to hear about those. And you can join Launch Lab, which is our group cohort that teaches you the 4 critical phases of launching your CPG brand and how to actually execute your launch quickly. We also do one-on-one advising. So if you book a profit plan session, I will assess your product profitability and recommend a package that works for you. You can book a call at itsallhappeningagency.co. You can email us at hi@itsallhappeningagency.co and follow us on Instagram @itsallhappeningco. See you soon.